Today is the most solemn day in the calendar of the church. On Good Friday, we hear the passion narrative from the Gospel of John, where Jesus is arrested, tried, is crucified, then breathes his last on the cross, and then he's buried in the tomb. We participate each year in the retelling of the story, and this is also the day we meditate on the cross of Jesus. Today, I will ask you to focus on what part we might play in this story narrative. Who were you in today's story? Because we are reminded today of our humanity and what that means. And one of the most striking parts of John's narrative is a place where the people who had only days before been cheering Jesus' entry into Jerusalem were now calling for his death. John tells us that Pontius Pilate presents Jesus to the crowd and says, "Here is your king." And the crowd replies, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate asks, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the crowd replies, "We have no king, but the emperor." Then Jesus is handed over to be crucified. It is at this point that we are asked to reflect and acknowledge our human participation in this action. Because whether or not we are aware of it, we participate in the crucifixion. We are part of the crowd. And if we are honest with ourselves, we are still part of the crowd today. We hear Jesus' words say to us, "Open your hearts and your mind to those who challenge us to grow in our faith." And we say, "Away with him, crucify him. We have no king but the emperor." We hear Jesus say to us, "Turn the other cheek, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." And we say, "Away with him, crucify him. We have no king but the emperor." We hear Jesus say, "Take care of the poor, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit those who are sick or in prison." And we say, "Away with him, crucify him. We have no king but the emperor." We hear Jesus say, "Stop killing one another." And we say, "Away with him, crucify him. We have no king but the emperor." Again, we hear Jesus say, "Know that you are created by God out of love, and you are to share that love with everyone." Yet we say, "We don't believe you. Away with him, crucify him. We have no king but the emperor." We are part of the crowd, and the crowd saw to it that Jesus was crucified. We may be part of the crowd, but by us being here today, on Good Friday, we also witness God's glory and power in the cross. It is a cruel device of torture and death. Yet, for many of us, it is no longer a symbol of shame, but one of great power and mercy. And even if we are part of the crowd, we can look at the cross and know that it is an instrument of God's victory over death. No matter how complicit we feel, or guilty we feel, or sinful we feel, or unworthy we feel. This cross that we gaze upon this Good Friday tells us Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God made flesh, loves us all unconditionally. At the beginning of my homily, I asked you what part we might play in today's story narrative. Who were you in today's story? I would like to share this perspective. It is from one of the thieves on the cross. So I'm going to invite you to put yourself in the place of this thief. Close your eyes if you wish, and please use all of your senses as I share the story. I don't belong here. I really don't. Paradise is the last place I expected to end up after all have done. Let me tell my story to you. I was an armed robber, I guess you call it. Others and I would live in caves in the Judean hill near the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And we made our living by violence. And we wouldn't take people on if they came in big groups that pass. They traveled together in great numbers for safety. But a family alone would be an easy target. And while any fool enough to travel by himself, that was easy. Brandishing a strong staff would usually do the trick. Threaten them with the beating, and they'll give up without much fight. But I've been known to break a few bones in my days. God forgive me, I don't think I killed anyone, but then I never stayed around long enough to find out. You know, it's funny. The first time I met Jesus is when I was invited to a party in his honor in Jericho at the home of a rich tax collector named Zacchaeus. I was introduced. We shook hands, and Jesus looked at me in the eyes for the long time. And he could see right through me who I am, every crime I ever committed, all my sins. Then he smiled with a big friendly smile. You know, he says, there's forgiveness for you in my kingdom. How about it? I dropped my eyes and said something non-committal and shuffled away. The next day, I'm in the crowd, hanging on every word he says. Jesus is talking about his kingdom, comparing it to a mustard seed, calling it the kingdom of heaven. I want so much to go up to him after he had finished, to take him up on that forgiveness thing, but I just can't bring myself to do it. I wish I had. Isn't much later when me and my friend get caught by Roman patrol. The others in our group run off, but they catch us, beat us silly, drag us into Jerusalem, and throw us in prison. No mercy for the likes of us. And so, it happened that on the same day they crucified Jesus, they crucified me and my friend, one of us on his left and the other on his right. And this is no normal crucifixion. Mobs of people are there just because of Jesus. A self-righteous Pharisee was swaggering and mocking. If you're some kind of Messiah, one sneered, come on down from that cross. If you're a savior, save yourself if you can. Even my friend began catcalling too, if you can imagine that. And I yelled over at him, you thug, don't you have any fear of God? Can't you see that we're going to die just like he is? Show a little decency. We're getting exactly what we deserve. But he has done nothing wrong. My friend quiets down, and the Pharisees lose interest. But I can't get Jericho out of my mind. I can't forget Jesus' eyes, his words, his invitation, And so I call over to him, though it's getting hard to breathe, and it makes it much harder. Jesus, I say. He turns his head towards me. Jesus, I was there in Jericho. I met you at the party of Zacchaeus' house, remember? He looks at me for a moment, and then he nods his head just a little. He does remember. I never forgot what you said. I wanted to say yes, but just couldn't. Now look at me. Look at us. Jesus is in bad shape, exhausted. He's in excruciating pain. His back is oozing. His breath is labored. He's not going to last long. I can see that. But somehow, I can see beyond all that. He was the Messiah, is the Messiah. No matter what those priests and Romans or Pharisees have done to him, and when he dies, he will be with God. In a few hours, maybe less, he will be vindicated. He will reign in that kingdom he told us about. Jesus, I called again, quieter now. He opened his eyes. They are the same eyes, the same piercing, loving, honest eyes. Jesus, I say, when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? His words are labored, his lips parched, but I can still hear him well. Truly, I say to you, his voice cracks, then stronger for a moment. Truly, this very day, you will be with me in paradise. His eyes droop. He is fading quickly. But I believe in him. I do. That what get me through these next few hours until they break my legs to kill me. I do believe him. And then I find myself here, in heaven, in paradise. I sure don't deserve to be here, but I am here anyway. I guess that's what a man like me gets when the King of Kings himself grants a pardon, full forgiveness and abundant mercy. This is Good Friday. It is God's love for us.